Holy Gospel for today is written in the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 38th verse. Jesus uses his visit to two sisters, Mary and Martha, as an occasion to remind disciples that an important aspect of obedience is single-minded devotion to Jesus and his word. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Now today, I have prepared a dramatic reading to help us understand more about Mary and Martha and their time and place and what they went through, and also to imagine how that story might have ended and what God might be saying to us through it. And I am pleased to have the help of one of our partners or members, Evie Brower-Thompson, who I think we'll see in a few moments. But first, we're going to sing three verses of our song of the day.
Jesus calls us all the tumults of our lives wild restless sea. Day by day, his clear voice sounding,
saying,
"Christian, follow me." As a wolf, Satan.
They're almost done already.
Heyward's golden store from
That's all right. She'll keep playing, I told her. Called traveling music. Okay, see you out there, Martha.
My sister, she drives me crazy. She's never around when it is time to get what needs to be done. Where is she? Not here for sure. The first time Jesus came to visit us, before Lazarus died and was raised, before anointing, before everything, Mary did the same thing to me. We're both very excited Jesus was coming to visit. Our brother Lazarus had heard Jesus' teaching and came back and told us all about him. I've never heard such good news. In my life, Jesus spoke about loving our neighbor and seeking the kingdom of God first. He sounded like he knew God's love firsthand. I wanted everything to be perfect for Jesus when I found out he was going to come to our home. I worked hard to get ready. Our home was spotless, And until you've lived in a house with packed dirt floor, you'll never understand that accomplishment. The pitcher of water was free of dust and lightly perfumed, so he could have fresh water to wash the dirt off himself after so much traveling. I was trying so hard to be hospitable to Jesus and his disciples. And Mary? No help at all. She burned 2 loaves of bread before I took over. I sent her outside to do something. Anything. At least she was out of my kitchen. You would do the same thing, right? Work hard and long to make sure you had everything just right if someone so important came to your home. A prophet. The Messiah himself. What I was doing wasn't wrong. I was doing what needed to be done.
Was my sister Martha here? Is she talking about me? You know, I truly love her, but sometimes she's a little difficult to live with. She's a perfectionist. You know any of those? Especially when it comes to taking care of our home and meals and such. I'm not a bad housekeeper. I just don't always live up to her expectations. Besides, I have other interests. We never expected to live together, my sister Martha and my brother Lazarus and me, but such were the facts of life in first century Palestine. People didn't often live long, and both Martha and I lost our husbands to death very early in life. And the way it worked then is that women had no right to earn a living. None. And they couldn't even own property. So we had to have a man take care of us. Now, Martha and I were among the fortunate ones. We each in our turn were able to move in with our brother Lazarus, who was so good to us, first to Martha and then me, Mary. I guess that's why she felt she's in charge of the household. She was here first. Poor Lazarus lost his wife and his firstborn child in childbirth. So there we were, joined by our grief and our family love in our little household. Now, Jesus of Nazareth was someone we all three loved as if he were a member of our own family. Lazarus first reported hearing about Jesus and hearing him speak in the synagogue in our hometown of Bethany, and it was astounding. Jesus spoke as if he were close to God, like he knew God personally. His words and actions showed God's compassion to people like us, who'd known pain and hard luck and had trouble making it in the world. There was both forgiveness and justice in his voice when he talked about loving God and loving neighbor as yourself, and loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's amazing. I would listen on the edge of the crowd when Jesus came to town. I simply couldn't get enough of those life-giving words. So when he came to our house that day, all I could think about was sitting close up so I could hear every word. And also, Jesus didn't seem to have the same attitude towards women as most of the men of our time did. He treated us as equals. He treated us as real people, worthy of his time and his attention and his teaching. I could hardly believe it that day when he invited me to sit at his feet and listen to him teach with the men. I admit I forgot all about my duties and hospitality and how Martha had given me instructions on what to do for the meal. All I could think about was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him.
Well, when Jesus got there that day, things got busy. It's not like he traveled alone. All the men had to wash up and soon would eat. It was time to move quickly. I couldn't find Mary anywhere. That girl. My sister of mine was gone again. I looked high and low, still trying to get everything done. And when I saw her, I couldn't believe the shame she had brought to our family. Not only was she not helping me when she should have been, but there she was, surrounded by men, sitting at the feet of Jesus as he spoke. You must understand, Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. The place at his feet was reserved for his disciples. Women were not allowed to sit at his feet. We were not good enough to be students. It was against our Jewish code. And well, she knew it. I've never been so embarrassed in my whole life. I tried to motion Mary away, but she never once glanced away from him. I was so frustrated, so ashamed. Then I thought, Jesus, he could help me get Mary to help me. And we could do this gracefully without mentioning her thumbing her nose at Jewish law. So I blurted out, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Imagine my confusion, my mortification when Jesus looked at me, not at Mary, and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I didn't know what to say. I felt ashamed. Yet his words were gentle. His eyes held no reproach. I went back to the kitchen and took everything out of the cooking fire. The meal would be good enough. I went back to Jesus, shyly. Mary moved over and made a place for me, and I sat and listened at the feet of my rabbi, my teacher, my God.
I felt shame and embarrassment that day too. Here was my sister having to remind me publicly in my own home of my womanly duties for the guests, including Jesus. I realized that I shouldn't have stayed so long listening to him. I needed to help my sister. But as Martha has said, Jesus' response was not like anything either of us would have expected. His voice was incredibly loving, gentle. He simply would not accuse or hurt either one of us. No man, not even our wonderful brother, ever had dealt with us with such respect and integrity, treating us as full human beings, not inferiors. And Jesus even affirmed that I had chosen the better part by listening to him. Imagine a woman of our time being allowed, much less praised, for having a choice over anything. He accepted me and Martha as his disciples, his followers. And he wanted us to listen to every wonderful thing he had to teach us about his Father, the one God. So when Martha came back, after setting aside the food to wait until Jesus was done teaching, I motioned her to sit beside me so she could hear everything too. And I whispered to her that I was sorry. I'd forgotten to help her. And she said, and she meant it, that it was all right. And we turned our attention to Jesus, who was becoming our Savior and Lord. Later on, when he was done with his parables and he'd answered a few questions, Martha and I hurried back to the kitchen and did what we had to do together to make it all happen, get the meal served. And I think ever since, we've probably worked a little bit better together. At least I've tried in our household. You know, when you listen to Jesus, really listen to him, you'll be changed. We certainly were.
It was not the last time we saw Jesus. When he was in Bethany, he often stopped by. Maybe you know of the astounding miracle bringing our brother Lazarus back from the dead. We will have to save that story for another time. The last time we saw Jesus before his death and rising, he had come to eat at our house before Passover. I was serving dinner, and Mary did something strange. She took out a large bottle of pure nard, an incredibly expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and then dried his feet with her hair. If I close my eyes, I can still smell it. I think she knew that he was going to die soon, and this was the beginning of his funeral. After everything, after his agonizing death, and then his surprising appearances to all the men and women who followed him as his after his resurrection, after he ascended into heaven, he sent us his Spirit. We realized that this was not the end. It was the beginning. We were beginning to trust and live his teaching. The love of God and neighbor would live on through us and many more followers like you. We could believe and trust and carry on by the power of his Spirit because we chose the better part. We sat at his feet. We heard the words he spoke. We received the love he poured out.
And I believe that today, through his Spirit, Jesus is speaking to all of you here, just as he spoke to Martha and me that day. He says to you, "You are worried and upset about many things, rushing around doing what you think is important. But only one thing is needed. Listen to me."